You're listening to A Woman's World with Purvi Shah, and I'm excited to have with me here today dancer and choreographer of Kathak, Parul Shah. We've just been talking about her choreography and one of the first pieces that she did and some of the reactions. I'd love to hear, Parul, what are some of the more recent pieces you've created and what have those audience reactions been like?
We premiered a piece. It's not so recent. It was in 2008. Then there was a break because I had a baby.
And well, congratulations.
Thanks. I mean, it was 3 years ago, but you know, it changes a lot.
Is it hard to be a mother and to continue to do your artwork or?
It is. It definitely is. And I feel like maybe, you know, cause it's my first child, so yeah. I'm hoping it gets easier. But, it's definitely,
Do you have tips for other mothers who are really like trying to?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I know. It's a struggle. It's really a struggle. Unless, you know, you have like, and I do have great help. I have my mom, but you know, I'm continuously just running. If you have, you know, a good financial backing, then you're okay.
Yeah.
So we created, I premiered a full length piece, called History of Unforgetting. And that's about, South Asian temple dancers.
Mm.
And, it's about basically what happened to them and their story. And this is something that I learned when I was doing my master's in dance. And I always knew that there were South Asian temple dancers and that they really helped develop the forms. And aside from that, I didn't really know very much. But in actuality, they were the founders of these beautiful dance forms and also a lot of the music and poetry that exists today. And it really began this whole practice of having these dancers, beautiful dancers being developed in the temples and musicians and poets and mainly they were all women. It began with the need or a desire, not the need, a desire of a patriarchal society, of really being entertained by these beautiful women who can sing and dance and recite poetry.
These sort of commodities in a way that you're observing. Yeah.
Absolutely. And they did lead this really interesting life and they had a great place in society, meaning that they did have a place in society and they were well respected. And then the British came to India and they looked at these dancers and they're like, this is really strange. How can these women, you know, live in temples and have relations with men, but, you know, they're not married and they're not confined to certain restrictions as other people are in society. Mm. And so they called it a form of prostitution. And slowly over time, the practice was banned in India. And it was really sad because after that, you know, their lives, they were displaced in society. And so many in the end did have to become a prostitute or go into prostitution because there was no other means of subsistence. And it's really sad because these were the founders of all these beautiful forms. And this was a practice that evolved with a patriarchal society and was supported by that community. And when the British outlawed it, they were just left to nothing. And so it was really sad. And then the dance forms were revived by great artists, and elite artists who had a great backing like Rukmini Devi. But they never gave the credit to these artists, to these Devadasis, these South Asian temple dancers, because she was afraid that they'd have that ill repute to the dance forms. And so she wanted to revive them. And she even changed the form. She was a Bharatanatyam dancer and she made it more pious. So the whole piece was about recognizing them as these founders of these, you know, great dance forms and songs and poetry.
That's amazing. It's so rich. I mean, you're talking about the sort of original patriarchy of having these women to look at, to entertain you, right. And then like British colonization, and then even taking away that kind of role and place, and then yeah. a reappropriation where somebody's like, no, actually, we don't want the stain in some way, that's but we exactly want to continue
right.
the dance.
Yeah. And so the whole aspect, which is found in Indian culture, the, you know, the erotic, it was kind of replaced with bhakti.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So, and bhakti is devotion. So, what did you do in your piece? Like, how did you think about telling the story?
Right. So, I think it's very difficult to tell such an emotional yeah. landscape. And I think that's what I tried to do is to try to empathize with the emotions that, you know, the dancers might have gone through or what they might have felt. We did have a little bit of spoken word in it, which I do think helps a lot. And you see that a huge movement, you know, called dance theater, where there's a lot of spoken word. And I do feel that really does help to tell, especially if you have a definite story that you want your audience to know. So we did have spoken word, and we had pieces that were really based on different types of emotions.
Interesting. So how did audience members react to that piece? Did you get the same kind of, oh, I didn't get the story right? Or
no, because I think, well, I learned my lesson, and you know, the program notes were very, very clear. So they knew what this story is about. And you know, I feel like making my own work, and as I said before, it's really about creating awareness. You know, I'm not necessarily trying to make anyone think in a certain way, but it's trying to create awareness and having people think about it. You know, like, wow, this happened, and you know, this is, you know, let them start thinking about the South Asian temple dancers, and maybe even doing their own research. But for me, that's what is really important.
Yeah, it strikes me back to something you originally said about your work as an offering, or dance as an offering to the community, right. And that you're kind of presenting something, and then they can take it forward however they want.
Right, right.
What did do you remember in terms of some of the audience reactions? Were there parts of the pieces that people really reacted to or told you about that they remembered?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I do also feel for some people, it was also, I mean, it's an emotional piece. So I feel like that's what people do take away with, like go away with that. So I did get that kind of reaction, and I get a lot in my work that it's beautiful and fierce. So I hear that a lot.
That's a great description, beautiful and fierce.
Yeah, and I do relate to that. So I do feel like, because our dancing, as you know, I love speed. I think that's always been kind of my thing, my forte. And so our dancing is very, it can be very fierce.
So it's fast. And
it's fast.
Fierce.
It's fast and fierce, yeah. But you know, at the same time, I love to create beautiful movements. So yes, beautiful and fierce.
So we know that folks are listening to us on the radio. Is there a place where people can go to see some pictures, a video of some of your dance work?
Yeah. So I have a website, and it's kathakdance.com. And then I have a Facebook page, that's just the Barul Shah Dance Company. And we do have a few things coming up. We're doing a benefit for the company, and that's on March 31st. And I'll have stuff about it on the website and on my Facebook page. And also we do have upcoming performances. The next one's in Philadelphia, which is not too far away. And a few more, and one in Brooklyn in June.
That sounds amazing. And it sounds like you're super busy, even though you were saying that, you know, it's a struggle being
a
mom and, you know, juggling all of that.
It's hard because, I mean, we did start working on a new piece, and we did a work in progress at Asia Society in November. So that is something that it's going to be, you know, I'm going to start developing soon.
It sounds like from what you're saying that being a mom, you're just kind of pacing yourself differently, right? Like than you would have before, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't practice as much. Like before, I would practice every day, like my own riyas. And now it's, if I get twice a week, I'm so happy. It's just so, it's very different. And, you know, I think, I guess I'm not the most organized person. I definitely am not. And someone who is would be better at it. But you know, I'm getting there, baby steps. But it's, and he now goes to school, but it's only 3 hours, but every year gets a little better. But yeah, I think it's partially my fault too, you know, and,
well, it actually sounds to me that it's an inspiration, you know, to new moms that you can continue to do your art. And it may not be the vision you had when you were,
yeah,
you know,
no,
starting.
Absolutely. No. Yes, no. And he's an inspiration. He's amazing. And I would not change a thing. But, you know, life is always changing.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is the same. So, yeah, I mean, I started dancing, right? I performed at 5 months when I was pregnant. 5 months, I had a big performance, and then I danced.
How did that feel to perform while you were pregnant at 5 months?
Different, definitely different. But I mean, there's just this more of a weight on you, but. It was a good experience.
I just love that story because it's like you're performing at 5 months and your child, yeah, who is now alive and born and, yeah, in the world,
yeah,
not only has Kathak in his blood, but it's like it was like his amniotic fluid, you know, his dance.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. And you know him, so you know his energy.
Which is very dancey. And yeah. And it's not, yeah. I mean, I think what's interesting is you talked earlier about the origin of Kathak, mm-hmm, and being this male tradition. Mm-hmm. And so many of your pieces have been about thinking about women and, oh, yeah, dance. And then, yeah, to have a son,
yeah,
who also has a mother who's a dancer and then, right, has this dance energy. I mean, it's just, yeah, fascinating to see the way that it works out.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely do think a lot of my work has a lot to do with being my gender, being a woman.
Why do you think that is?
I do just feel there, you know, unfortunately there are a lot of inequalities still that exist, and I feel if you're a woman then you're definitely going to be affected by that. And you know, especially right now with what's going on, I mean, it's great that especially right now at this moment, there's much more attention given to the violence against women. But I just feel like you can't ignore that being a woman. You know, it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere in every walk of life you see. So I just feel like as a woman, I feel like it's going to affect you.
That sounds amazing. And I think in terms of, you know, just for our community to have dance be one of the ways to talk about that is, yes, fantastic, you, yeah, know, given how important dance has been to, mm-hmm, our communities. Mm-hmm. So thank you all for listening in to this part. We're going to take a short commercial break, and then we'll be right back to talk more about Parul's new choreography and work that she's doing.